To begin with, there are three questions that I wanted to return to that came up during last Wednesday's session. The first one came up as a question that David had about the mind's guarding of the heart.
So are the desires coming from our heart? The question is, in which direction are the desires? Stealing the fishing rod coming out of my head? Or is it coming from my heart? My desires from my heart, and so that I filter them through my mind? Or are they from my mind and I'm guarding my heart, protecting them? I'm wondering, hey, I wonder if I could get away with getting that fishing rod. No, I'm not going to do that. Because once I reach out and put that fishing rod in my jacket and start to steal it, I've taken that action and brought it into my heart.
What David said was really right on, and I should have picked up on that. I ought to have responded in two parts. One part is the way I did respond.
The enemy will try to seduce you through your mind and your imagination and corrupt you, corrupt your heart. Once your heart is corrupted, then it may be the desire of your heart to take fishing rods, do bad things to other people to make yourself feel better. Yeah, that comes from the heart. The problem is the condition of your heart is in bad shape. Hopefully, what is in our heart is the love of God, a faithfulness to Christ. The point is, we have to guard that. We are baptized. We are chrismated. We enter the life in Christ. But that life has got to be guarded, or we will betray it.
But the question remains, in the example of the fishing rod,
did it come from the mind or did it come from the world? And David explained what he was thinking. Couldn't we do things in the world? Take the fishing pole. And having taken the fishing pole, would that not have an effect? And so, yes, these temptations are not just going on in the mind. Actions that we perform in the world definitely corrupt the heart. So that if we're not on guard with our consciousness against doing that sort of thing that tempts us to live in a way that is not Christ-like, and we do that action, doing the action corrupts the heart. A sin, a missing of the mark, is things that we do.
And the fact is, this includes both things that we do in the world, physically, and also things that we do in our mind. Actions in the mind, choices of what to do. In both cases, it's a matter of something that we have chosen to do, and it has consequences.
But I didn't want to let that go by because I did not emphasize that in the proper sort of way. I'm going to try to move to the second example.
And this question has to do with the difference between a connoisseur and an addict.
Hey, a real connoisseur is not addicted to anything. I'll take a little bit of this, I'll take a little bit of that. This is okay, anything's okay. But you don't want it to have control over you. I am in control.
Well, in either case, you have an attempt to be God.
Sure,
and that's true. But he also makes the point, though, that they began by trying to become God. Because I remember that because you had said some stuff about becoming to be God.
Sure.
And I forget where he said that. And I think in either case, that one of the other points he makes is that death doesn't care how it gets you. You're dead.
Well,
it doesn't matter if it's because you're a connoisseur or because you're addicted to something. That's not exactly the point he was making. When you die, you die.
Father Weber's point was not about the connoisseur who remains in control and whose problem may be that he is being God for himself. A connoisseur will not die of his tasting a little of this and tasting a little of that. He has the sense of self-preservation that will keep him from dying the inevitable death of the alcoholic. Father Weber does talk about how it doesn't make any difference what kind of alcoholic you are. Find this on page 36. If you are an addict, you may have been able to find some way of being a functional alcoholic, a functional addict. You can hold down a job, you can interact in society. But no matter how your pattern of alcoholism and addiction play out, in the end, it will get you. You will be dead. It doesn't matter how death gets you.
Now, the point here, the way this arose was that Jimmy pointed out that whether you are a connoisseur and not living in a way that is Christ-like from God, within the body of Christ, this new life we've been living, Whether you're doing that or whether you are a hardcore addict, in the end, the result is going to be the same. It's going to be death. Father Weber is talking about alcoholism. He is talking about those who are addicted to behaviors or substances so that they have lost their will. They are incapable of functioning as moral agents. They are not in a position to be able to function as Christians. A connoisseur is someone who holds back, and this plugs into a large discussion that we had last week that has to do with the fact that we live in a world where anything goes, and we can have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. That's where the connoisseur thing came up. But the connoisseur is in danger of spiritual death. What he's doing is not going to drop him dead in his tracks of cirrhosis of the liver or some other physical destruction. An addict is on his or her way to physical death. There is a difference. Now, it's true, leaving life in Christ, the only true life, the one that we are created for, does mean leaving the source of life and entering a living death. But it's not going to physically kill us, unless you want to make the theological point that there would not be death in the world in the first place at all for anybody if it had not been for the fact that Adam and Eve did that in the beginning. That's where death came from. So in the long run, you could say, in the end, death will get you unless you die to your life in the world, reorient, enter the life in Christ. In that sense, yes, in both cases, you're going to be dead. But the alcoholic's death, the addict's death, is going to be physical. He is already morally destroyed. That difference is a significant difference.
With respect to the connoisseur, who goes through life being God for themselves with no higher value, it's true that person is headed on the path to spiritual death. But he or she protects themselves against physical death by just taking a little bit of this, a little bit of that. That's what we called at one point addiction light. Their death is a spiritual death. It may not lead directly to a physical death. The alcoholic is in a desperate situation. In the end, addiction will kill him. So we're talking about the literal fact that addiction leads to physical death on the one hand, and on the other hand, the fact that to live life with ourselves as God is a path of spiritual death. But if we confuse the two, we're not going to be able to make clear sense out of either one.
We're going to move on to the third one. The third one, probably the most difficult one to sort out in a way. But once it's sorted out, then I think it makes sense. A lot of things that we talk about are dealt with in this third issue.
All right, well, what about original sin is being selfish and setting yourself up as God or the creation?
Original sin is turning away from God and toward the world as a source of life.
Right, so...
Which we do.
Is that not
addiction?
No, addiction is something in particular. Let's not fuzz up that word.
Okay. Orthodox Christians deny that we are morally incompetent, robbed of our moral capacity, as addicts are. Orthodox Christians would deny that our fallen relationship to the world is that kind of relationship, where we are addicted to the world. Some Western Christians, Augustine, Luther, Calvin, maybe even in a sense all of Western Christianity, say that we have lost our moral capacity to choose, like an addict loses the capacity to choose. Orthodox Christians teach that we have not lost that capacity. We can cooperate with God. And once we are united to Christ, even the divine ascent becomes possible. But even before being united to Christ, human beings are not bound to the world by addiction. We're bound by the presence of death in the world, but we are not addicted without moral capacity as a consequence of the fall. Addiction drags us lower than the fallen condition we are born into. Human beings are not bound to the world by addiction. If that were so, certainly it would be a waste of time for me to bring in a book like Character is Destiny. But that's not the case. And above and beyond the universal human capacity for decent character, the divine ascent is possible, not because it's within our capacity, but because of our relationship to God.
An addict cannot begin the spiritual path of ascending the heights because they're not choosing.
Right.
They have a problem. Their will is they're not able to choose. Their disease chooses. Now, you can't begin the divine ascent if you are in that condition. You have got to break the hold of that and regain your ability to choose.
That one, I think, was really important, because something that was weaving in and out of our conversation last week was a desire to use the term addiction in the way that, I have to admit, is current in the news. Everything, you check on the internet or listen to the news, everything's an addiction. We are addicted to oil, I think President Bush said. Well, it makes sense, but you need to remember, it's a metaphor. Human beings get addicted. I mean, it's a true social commentary on the state of our society in general to say that our economy is addicted to oil. It certainly is. And it will kill. Consequences are similar. But it's important to remember that that's a metaphor. When it comes to actual addiction, and we're talking about ourselves, the idea that if we say that we are addicted to the world, that our relationship to the world in general, world outside, is one of addiction, if that's true, well then, Christianity is impossible. Christianity, as Orthodox Christians understand it, is impossible. Maybe it's not impossible the way Western Christians understand it, because according to them, we lost the capacity to choose with the fall. Anytime we act and choose the good, anything good, it's God directly coming from outside of us, entering into us, and choosing on our behalf. We have no capacity to cooperate with God in our salvation. Synergy, cooperation between human beings as individuals and God, is rejected by Western theology. Augustine, Luther, Calvin all rejected. So that might fit in with the idea that our relationship to the world is one of addiction, where we are incapable of acting morally, decently, making moral choices. Orthodox reject that. So the idea that we are addicted to the world has the advantage of absolving us of all responsibility. Because if we're addicted, then we can go maybe read the steps of transformation, go to AA, our spiritual life in church will become the spiritual life of an addicted addict. We will not be capable of ascending the heights. And when Orthodox say, as monastics witness to the fact that it is possible to already live the life of the end times now in Christ, because everything has been accomplished, and now it is possible for us to die to ourselves and enter into Christ's life, the life of his perfect humanity, and live free of the presence of death in the world, all that would not be possible if synergy is not possible, and if we are addicted, and if fallen behavior meant, if our fallen condition included addiction to the world, there would be no freedom, no freedom possible. We might be able to learn to be dry addicts to the world. That's all. There wouldn't be any further for us to rise. That's a critical point. So if we buy into that, certainly we need to stay away from the ladder of divine ascent, for sure. Because we know if that is our understanding, we are going to take the wrong turn at every point. And the spiritual tradition of the Orthodox Christian East involves choosing the right path in each case. There are choices, and it is possible for us to go the right way because we are actually doing the ascent to God through Christ. That's been made possible. So it's either one way or the other. If we are addicted to the world, then ascent to oneness with God, oneness with one another even, is not possible. It completely guts Orthodox Christian understanding of our relationship to God. Even the Divine Liturgy, even what we claim we are doing in the Divine Liturgy would not be possible because we would not have the capacity to participate in divine life by cooperation with God through Christ in the Holy Spirit.